T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Jor.
Yes, Paul.
The sun is out.
Really?
We just can't see it.
No. Okay, well, do you mean
the sun is shining?
Like in Hawaii?
Well, I mean, if you could somehow get above this stale layer of
thanks.
Clouds like dribbling rain. Yeah, yeah. In an airplane, they're enjoying sunshine right now. So that helps me mentally, just knowing the sun is still there, and we will see it starting tomorrow. Wednesday looks beautiful.
Well, that's good news.
60s this week, little free AC. What a weekend. A hot, steamy weekend.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
More typical of July than
it was
August.
Hot.
I got an interesting email from Kenny Blumenfeld. He's the senior climatologist at the State Climate Office, which is part of the Minnesota DNR. He goes, Paul, thank goodness the heat broke. Yesterday was the latest I ever jumped in a lake, all the way in. And it was the only time I've been swimming with the leaves turning.
Yeah.
And the beaches were packed.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
The beaches have been packed.
Just
the
a little.
Cedar Lake and our urban beaches.
And you kind of expect that. Okay, Labor Day, State Fair time. Yeah. I mean, it routinely gets mm-hmm. hot around the State Fair, but late September. And we did set a record. I think the most impressive record for Kenny and for other meteorologists in the state. This was the latest in the year that the Twin Cities have had 3 consecutive days with highs of at least 90 and lows at least 70 or warmer. In fact, the next latest in the year run concluded on September 12th, 1931. So we broke that record by an astounding 12 days.
I took a picture of my car thermometer. It said 100 degrees yesterday.
Did it?
100 degrees.
And we were up in the Brainerd Lakes area. It rained. It was in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
But I'm glad you got to enjoy the hot front.
Hot.
We enjoyed a soggy front.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, folks in Puerto Rico, and again, how do you frame this story? You know, if you've seen the videos, you've seen the photos out of Puerto Rico, we are talking about an episode of Survivor, mm-hmm. except instead mm-hmm. of a handful of people and, you know, movie producers, film producers and props, we've got 3.4 million Americans that have no power.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them have run out of medicine. Many of them don't have access to food or clean water. These are Americans. And it just seems like the response is taking forever to really help these people.
You even said before the show, you know, hey, if it was Louisiana or Texas, we would be rushing supplies down there. I hope we're doing enough for the people of Puerto Rico.
Pulling out all the stops with the National Guard and sending troops and whatever it takes. And I'm not the only one who feels this way, that we just seem to be taking forever mm-hmm. to do the right thing. The governor of Puerto Rico, Ricardo Rosello, said yesterday, we are U.S. citizens that just a few weeks ago went to the aid of other U.S. citizens, even as we're going through our fiscal downturn. He said, now we've been essentially devastated. Mm. Complete destruction of the power infrastructure, severe destruction of housing infrastructure, food and water are needed. My petition is that we were there once for our brothers and sisters, our other U.S. citizens. Now it's time that U.S. citizens in Puerto Rico are taken care of adequately and properly. They are a part of the USA.
Yes, yes.
We need to do more to help them.
I mean,
you could have thousands of people dying in the next few weeks before they get the grid back up, which may take months. We don't know.
I've been texting with my friend. We had her on last week. We tried to have her on a few times. Meredith Turak has lived in Puerto Rico for at least the last 20 years. She's a dear friend that I grew up with. She's joining us now on the phone. Mer, are you there?
I'm here.
It's good to hear your voice, honey.
I am here.
What the heck is going on down there?
It's terrible. It's really bad.
Really?
I can't. There's nothing pretty about what's going on.
Does anyone have power? What's the food situation? You were texting me about the diesel.
Does anybody have power from the? Actually, I think I did hear, and I don't know if it's just a rumor, that a couple places got power back. The public hospital, Centro Médico, I believe, just got power back. Mm-hmm. It's the only place that I heard actually has power on the island. This is the first storm that has hit the entire island. So the last storm that hit, I mean, this is obviously the largest storm that's hit us as well, but I don't remember the year when Hurricane George hit. It hit more in the, I believe, the top part of the island. So people could go down to the south part of the island and get supplies that they needed. Or, you know, and then another storm hit was sort of at the bottom of the island, so people could come and take a break in the north part of the island. But this one hit, completely destroyed the entire island from entirely.
Meredith,
so there's really, hotels aren't open. It's a disaster.
Have you seen any signs of help? I mean, has the cavalry shown up yet?
Okay, I have to. New York has been incredible. They were here helping Governor Rosselló just yesterday or the day before. So New York stands definitely with Puerto Rico. It's been incredible. The National Guard is here.
We do have
military here. FEMA is here. The problem with the distribution of the gas is FEMA. Not that it's a problem. It's just that the federal government is holding it up.
Why?
Because they want to make sure that it's distributed properly. So it's going first to the hospitals, obviously, which is where it should be going, and to the old age homes. But it's been really hard to get access for any private sector to get the diesel. So most places have generators, but the generators are dependent on the diesel. Mm. And as the diesel's running, you know, if you don't have access to the diesel, obviously you can't run your home or your business. And so that has been the biggest problem is gas. The lines are out of control. I think there's also there's hysteria, definitely. I know that everybody went to the supermarket before the storm. I don't know what the hysteria is to stand in a four-hour line waiting outside of the supermarket 3 days after the storm, what you're in such need of at that moment. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, unless, of course, everything got completely ruined, which I know is the case for many people. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of hysteria on top of the fact that everything's been devastated. So we're hoping that we get a little bit of calmness and that we were told what we hear on the news, whatever news we hear, because whatever news I really hear is through Facebook, through my phone data, because there's not really any other communication, is that there is enough gas here. It's just we have to wait for the distribution, and that after Tuesday, which is tomorrow, we should see some relief. But as of now, I haven't seen.
Meredith,
it's been bad.
We're getting reports of looting and, I mean, some apocalyptic scenes, especially in San Juan. Do you feel safe at night? I mean, are you kind of hunkered down at night?
I do, just because I have a guard in my building. The problem is you have certain buildings that are lit up because they did have access to the generator. To the gas, I'm sorry, for their generator. And so those are going to be points of, people are going to obviously see those buildings and those are going to be targets. You have buildings that are some fancier buildings where all of the windows have been destroyed. And it's so easy to just enter. And they don't have their whole electric system, they don't have the generator. So there's no security. You could just walk right in. So it's become it's a really big problem. Looting has been a problem in buildings, in shops, in everywhere. It's like after a war scene. As you walk around, it's just everybody's in a state of shock. That's really what it seems like.
Well, I'm glad to hear at least you're getting some help, and maybe after tomorrow, mm-hmm. you'll have a little more fuel to keep you guys going.
Yeah, we are getting some help. I do have to, you know, we do see it. We see the barges coming in full. Mm-hmm. We see the boats coming in. I mean, it's here, and we just haven't actually seen it yet.
Okay.
And there's still places that are flooded, and they're still trying to save people. So they have to focus the attention on getting people out of their flooded homes or flooded areas.
Oh, honey, kiss everybody for me. I know you're safe. Thank God you're safe and you have food.
Yes.
And I'm praying for you every night. Happy New Year, sweetheart.
And we'll keep checking. We'll keep checking in, Meredith, and making sure you're okay. And we appreciate your perspective, and we'll keep you in our prayers, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang in there.
Bye, sweetie. I tell you, our New Year's were very, very different. I was praying for that whole family. You know, her in-laws have a concrete house, and they live inland, and they have a generator, so they had things. They could keep their food cold. They have things. I understand the people who don't, though, that are suffering. They're suffering.
Yeah, and this is not necessarily going to have a happy ending next week. This may drag out over weeks and months. Mm-hmm. They've had record heat down there, as if it wasn't bad enough. Nobody has AC now. Nobody has air conditioning. And it's been in the mid-90s, so good grief.
All right, back to some local news with Frank Vassalero when Paul and I return. Welcome back. It's 4:27.
Yes, it is. And it's 61 degrees.
Oh, 61.
Was that my cue?
Not really.
Time and temperature. We are all time and temperature all the time.
We're all Frank Vassalero all the time. Hi, Frank.
Hello there. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
For a Monday, Frank, I mean, just hearing your voice cures me.
Really?
You are the wind beneath my... never mind. Hold the cue cards a little higher. Wind beneath my wings.
Right.
Wings, good.
Wings.
I'm
good.
Surprised at, like, the you know, you send us the right stories you want to talk about.
Yeah, this one really surprised us a lot.
Which one?
About Governor Dayton.
You write that
he doesn't agree with professional athletes sitting and kneeling.
I don't think that Governor Dayton and President Trump agree on much. But on this, they kind of do, but for very different reasons.
Oh, wait, why? Well, tell us what
Can you give us a hint?
Well, you know, Dayton, you know, so, I mean, the national anthem and the players standing or kneeling became, you know, huge news, as everyone knows, I think, this weekend. And the president's, you know, really pointed tweets and how angry he is with people kneeling during the thing. So during the national anthem. So today, Governor Dayton said that he does not agree with professional athletes who sit or kneel during the national anthem. So he said he thought that the way the Vikings handled it, you know, how the Vikings linked arms and all stood, you know, the owners, the players, the coaches. Mm-hmm. He thought that was a really great way to do it because he thought that showed a lot of solidarity. But he went on to say, he goes, I don't think a multi-million-dollar sports figure should, he thinks they should find another way to protest. And he said, here's his quote, people can disagree with their government, and I do, and I have, and they can disagree with those of us who are in government. But that flag, to me, is sacrosanct. It is something that every Minnesotan and every American who lost their life shed their blood for, and I personally believe it should be respected. So, but he went on to say, I do not at all question the constitutional right of anyone to do, you know, to kneel down or do that, that, you know, the flag is above being altered and above that kind of thing. So Pat Kessler told me, he goes, the interesting thing was, is that he said Twitter became a sacrosanct, became a Twitter word today because people don't know what it means.
Sacrosanct.
So like, he should have used a different word saying like it's beyond reproach or beyond, you know, which is sacrosanct.
It's bad.
It's Latin from sacred. Like,
well, that's good that we learned a new word.
It's beyond being altered or changed. So
a Twitter word of the day.
Yeah,
even though
that.
You disagree with the government, Dayton said, and which he said, I do. He goes, you shouldn't kneel during the anthem because he said you're kneeling under the flag, and Americans have shed their blood for it, and I think that we should respect that and keep that tradition.
And
so,
see, we live in a country where he gets to have that idea, and he gets to say that out loud, and that's good.
And his idea is, you know what, you guys, find. He goes, I'm all for protesting, find a different way to do it.
Interesting.
So, but he's one of the few, right? Because
right,
everyone else is saying, you know, and I shouldn't say he's one of the few. I mean, the people who are getting a lot of attention today are the ones that are saying, oh, you know, everyone should be able to do whatever they want, and there's no reason that you can't kneel during the anthem, and people need to have their constitutional rights. That's the main, I think, message today, because I think people are so upset with the president. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't rightfully be upset with the president. It's just interesting that Mark Dayton came out and had a different view.
And we're going to talk about this at 5 o'clock. We're going to open the phone line.
Oh, you'll get a ton of calls. I'm not even sure why. I don't think I would even brought it up if it wasn't for what the governor said today. I thought that part was new because, I mean, I think it got talked to death yesterday.
But the whole bending the knee, I kept feeling like I was watching a bad episode of Game of Thrones because bend the knee, show loyalty, right? The ultimate form of respect.
Yeah, so. Well, people, you know, and I don't know, so interesting, you know, there was an article in ESPN, the magazine that came out about 3 weeks ago now on Aaron Rodgers. And really interesting because, you know, he doesn't grant a lot of stuff and he has some issues with some of the features and things people have said about him. But he came out and basically said, I think Colin Kaepernick is just getting blackballed. He could play in this league and owners aren't doing it because he was the one who started with the I'm going to protest the way black men are treated in this country by taking a knee during the anthem.
That's right.
And he said he's paid the ultimate price and that he not only lost his job, but no one's hiring him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wonder if that's going to change soon, though.
I don't know, but I mean, what's the other case for it, right? I mean, why isn't the guy playing? You know, you look at some.
That's
of the other
why.
People.
That's. I mean, that's just the truth.
You know,
absolutely.
So that's one thing, right? For the NFL to go, oh, we stand and we let our players do whatever we want, and you know, and by the way, we're not going to hire the black guy who kneeled down during the anthem.
Franco, we will be tuned in at 5, 6, 10. 2 a.m., 5 a.m.,
all the time.
9:37.
The replay's at 1:10 a.m. I'll text you.
Fantastic.
Tonight.
Please.
We'll
yes.
be watching.
Text me early and often. All right.
I will.
Thanks, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Frank Vassalero, thanks so much.
The news is next, then Beyond the Headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's go beyond because I'm a little afraid of the headlines.
Way beyond,
days.
Yeah. I prefer to go beyond the headlines today.
Talk about those. Let's talk about pumpkins because, you know, it's almost Halloween, so there's pumpkin spice everything, including a pumpkin spice food spray. This is a real thing. This is a real thing.
How about a deodorant?
It's
pumpkin spice deodorant. Why doesn't somebody come up with that?
Like a deodorant.
That could work.
Well, they have Old Spice, but that doesn't make you smell like pumpkins.
Pumpkin spice. Yeah.
It's true. All right. Simply Beyond, well, like us, Simply Beyond, created the Pumpkin Spice Organic Spray-On Spice last year. Now it's a product that they say, well, you know, critics say, can ruin just about everything. It's supposed to substitute holiday spice powders, but you can spray it on anything from your broccoli to grandma's homemade lasagna. It's $11 a bottle. It's recommended for bakering, savory dishes, or even small snacks. However, that shouldn't stop you from living out your dreams and drenching soup with it or anything. I wouldn't recommend it on matzo ball soup, but a pumpkin spice soup actually sounds pretty good. Now that's pumpkin everything, you know, the lattes and the everything.
We've taken it a little too far. We've taken a good idea and beaten it to death, right?
That line. That's right.
All right.
We do that. We're Americans.
Speaking of food, don't mess with my Trix. Do you eat Trix? Do you eat cereal?
I have. Yes,
on occasion?
I grew up on cereal. I ate sugar cereals every day. They were called Sugar Pops back in the day, not Corn Pops, Frosted Flakes. I only had sugar
Frosted
cereals.
Frosted Flakes, yes. I love Frosted
every day.
Flakes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, General Mills bounced artificial coloring agents like Red 40 and Yellow 6 from its cereals in order to appeal to a more health-conscious demographic.
Sure.
It turns out some Trix fans weren't that into it. So many people have protested that General Mills is bringing back the cereal's old food dyes.
Wait,
and
like
calling
the bad
it
kind?
Classic Trix.
No.
Moving forward, the company says it will offer two versions of the product, one without artificial flavors and one with them. Quote, consumers have differing food preferences, and providing choices of what they would like to eat is very important to General Mills.
But couldn't they have made it safer?
Apparently, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's unsafe.
No.
And keep in mind, 90% of General Mills cereals are made with no artificial flavors or colors. So they're being... If they're like, hey, if you want this, if you want the dyes, if you want the fluorescent colors.
Because that would be me. Because I grew up on sugar cereals and I do eat junk food. I'm alive today. I can't promise tomorrow, but I've made it here.
You know, coloring dyes at this point is the least of my concerns.
These are major
with everything else
problems.
I'm putting in my body, you know. The Red 40 and Yellow 6. I laugh at you. Ha! 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 Ha!
I will continue to eat my classic tricks.
Classic tricks.
Until body parts start falling
silly
off.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
All right.
And Paul. This is a great story about Goldie, our gopher mascot. He laid out some kid during the Vikings mascot game. This is actually true, okay? Mascot versus youth football players at U.S. Bank Stadium. It was part of the Vikings-Buccaneers halftime festivities. Mm-hmm. Well, Goldie the gopher, maybe inspired by P.J. Fleck, the 125-mile-per-hour football head coach, that's how P.J. Fleck is described, he ran straight toward the end zone in a burst of speed and just laid out a young defender on his way to the end zone. Oh. Now, Goldie is in full regalia, so he's probably over 6 feet tall, you know, with the head and with everything on it, with all that gear. And these are youth football players. They're children. I mean, I don't know how these kids are, 10 or 11 years old. This kid didn't even stand a chance. I saw the video, which I recommend you watch, as long as the kid is okay, because it was pretty funny. The kid, like, kind of reached for him, looked like maybe he was going to defend him. Goldie had his hand out, laid the kid flat out, flipped the kid. Again, we think it was okay. LaDainian Tomlinson talked about it on NFL Game Day Prime, along with defensive back Deion Sanders. And they were yelling at him. Tomlinson says, who does he think he is? That's a little kid right there, man. You can't do that. But Goldie did. And Goldie apparently was on Twitter, very happy about how he played in that game.
Ooh, Goldie, Goldie. Get out your aggression.
Mm-hmm.
A Dutch cyclist who broke her back at the Rio Olympics, a
horrible,
horrific crash, returns to win gold in a, pretty impressive.
Sure.
Annemiek van Vleuten.
What was that name again?
Annemiek van Vleuten.
Now, is that how you really say it, or you just
van
made it
Vleuten.
Up?
I'm making some assumptions. She's Dutch, so, you know, everything, a little sing-songy van Vleuten. Her teammates thought she had died last summer when the Dutch cyclist smashed headfirst into the pavement during a downhill stretch of the women's road race at the Rio Olympics. Van Vleuten, who sustained a concussion and broke three vertebrae in her back, vowed to come back. And even better, to win. While the 34-year-old will have to wait till 2020 to get another shot at Olympic gold, Van Vleuten only had to wait just a little more than a year to earn her first world gold. Last Tuesday, she took the time trial in Bergen, Norway, finishing the 13-mile course 28 minutes, 50 seconds. That's 12 seconds ahead of fellow Dutch woman, Anne van de Breggen. Stop with these names. Is there somebody named Butch?
Oh, boy. Anyway,
with tears in her eyes, Van Vleuten addressed the crash after Tuesday's win, which she called incredible. So talk about the mother of all comebacks. Congratulations, Annemiek van Vleuten.
It can be done.
Yep.
Copperhead snake bites a woman at the Longhorn Steakhouse.
Ooh.
This happened in Fredericksburg, Virginia. A woman was walking through the foyer of the Longhorn Steakhouse, and all of a sudden she felt a sharp pain in her foot. At first she thought maybe she got stung by a bee or a hornet, so she kind of tried to brush it off. Then the pain got so sharp, she said she dropped her cell phone and her wallet. I had my fingers under my foot when I felt something moving, she told a local newspaper. Merrick had been bitten twice on her toes and once on the side of her foot by a roughly 8-inch-long copperhead. She was in the hospital for 11 days. She said, I freaked out and started screaming, I got bit, I got bit. The snake hit the floor between, I guess she flicked it off her, between her son and her boyfriend. Both of them instantaneously started stepping on its head. And they killed it right in the foyer. Now, after the snake was dead, obviously she was taken to the hospital where she got anti-venom shots and treatments to reduce the swelling, which spread up to the top of her leg. I guess those kill you pretty quick.
Oof, yeah.
Brutal. But she is going to be okay. And she said she was going there to celebrate her boyfriend's return from Afghanistan. So they're going to go back and get a nice big steak.
Absolutely.
Careful there. Oh, shoot. We're out of time.
All right. Yep, we got more, but we will save these for tomorrow as we go way beyond the headlines.
Way beyond. That's 4:47.
We have Van Vleuten on the line. On line two, Van Vleuten. How's your Van Vleuten?
That'd be nice.
All right.
It's a Wicks and Jewelers
time
check.
Wicks
where's our little copy there? There we go. Sorry, I lost my sheets. I told you, he's messy with the sheets, and he steals stuff, so I can't find it.
I'm a mess. Is there anything that has not been politicized?
I know.
Is there anything we can do that won't label us red or blue? Is there anything? What about apple pie?
Have we ruined that yet?
Have we? Yeah.
If you spray that pumpkin spice on it, it'll ruin it, though.
Why would you do that?
Don't do that.
But if you eat it a la mode, I mean, does that say something? I mean,
does that mean you're conservative or Democrat? Yeah. I don't know. You're right. This is the big talker of the day, and this is what we're going to talk about coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. And, yes, we're going to take your calls, and we're going to read your texts because your texts are already coming in. And everybody does seem to have an opinion on this one. And we're not here to change yours. We're just here to listen.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to change anybody's mind.
It's okay. We're just here to listen and maybe educate. I mean, these are good conversations to have about free speech and what, when then do employers overstep? If you do fire somebody for their political views or for a peaceful protest, is that legal? Is that right? Is that okay? Is that where we are in our country? Are athletes or celebrities, should they be allowed to protest in their element or on their private time?
Or in their free time.
Right.
Right, when they're not on the clock.
Right. People get mad. You know, we recently had, it wasn't the Grammys, it was the Emmys, the daytime Emmys. And people say, well, they shouldn't use that platform to, you know, talk about politics when they do their acceptance speeches. You know, same kind of conversation.
But that's when they have the audience, right?
Exactly. That's when these athletes have the audience.
Right.
And they're watching. Their people are watching.
Why do people rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going with that, but okay, you got there.
I know.
That's right. So to say to do it on your private time, it would not be as effective.
Well, you could tweet, but it's not going to have quite the same impact as doing it on national television.
And that's why they do it. And they're celebrities, and we are watching. And it is having an impact because it's all anybody's talking about.
What are we talking about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk with Dave Schultz. He's a political science professor at Hamline and obviously a big, dear friend to the show. He wrote a blog about this, so we'll talk with him briefly, and then we will take your thoughts and texts, and you get to sound off.
Absolutely.
And we will, too.
This is a tough topic. Somebody explained to me today, you know, free speech is fine unless you disagree with me, and then it's disrespectful. So we all have kind of different impressions of what is free speech, right? Bill of Rights?
That's right. They were saying that tongue-in-cheek, of course.
I think so. Boy, I hope so. I don't know. Can't tell anymore.
Paul and Jordana here. We'll take your thoughts after the break.
But we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.